I'm Nancy Searles, and this is the third in the series for this week where I'm working with color, and it's called Living Within the Rainbow, the Dream and the Aura. Who are you? Each one of you. Who are you? Are you the person I am looking at, sitting in front of me? Is that who you are? Is it?
Yeah.
Do I know you by looking at you? No, I do not know you by seeing you sitting in a chair. Who are you? You are your thoughts, your desires, your dreams, your fears, hates. All of these make up you. Now these thoughts and dreams and loves and hates and fears are all energy. They are vibrational. We know this. You react when you go into a room. Can you sometimes tell what the mood is in that room? Room full of people, and you walk in and you say, boy, I don't want to stay here very long. Now you can feel energy, vibration. Or you meet someone and that person, talk to that person, you feel that they're going to pull at you. Boy, I better put a shield up, or I better get away from here. That person is going to drain me. What is being drained? It is your energy, is it not? It is what is going on with you. On the other hand, you may meet somebody, you just feel good to have been with that person, right? You just feel good. What have you received from that person? Certainly isn't the lint off the red sweater. It's the energy. It is the energy. It is what is that person. These thoughts, these vibrations are exchanged between people. Now, some of you, have any of you had a telepathic situation occur ever? I had one with my mother who called me. I was in Washington, D.C. in an internship, and I had been told by my director that if I didn't do it her way, I would be let go. And I could not, in good conscience, act as she wanted me to with the patients. And so I packed up and I left. I was just going to quit after all the work that had gone to that point. And I went to a friend's house, and the phone rang at 9 o'clock that night, and Peggy said, it's your mother. And my mother said at 9 o'clock that morning she had a feeling she had to call me, and I've been trying all day long. We talked, I finished the internship. The Lord does work in very mysterious ways. But thoughts can be transmitted over long distances. It is not something that is just in and around your person. My work, to help explain a little bit where I'm coming from, I work with this energy in people. And I do what is called, it's the field of bioenergy. And what I work with is helping people to balance their energy. And it's done sometimes by laying on of hands. It's other times. It is not instant zap healing. Healing is a process. And what I do is work with the issues that are causing illness. And I'm going to work with this throughout the week next week, the nature of illness. But I say that by way of introduction to what I'm going to talk about next, and the introduction to the aura and the dream. This energy within your person is organized. Energy energy is organized into an energy system. Now the Orientals know this system and use it in acupuncture. Any of you ever had acupuncture? Okay, working with the various meridians. And it's really quite amazing to people that they can have illnesses recede when certain meridians are hit with this acupuncture. The Oriental is working with the energy, the system of energy in the body. There's a book in the bookstore called Foot Reflexology. Same thing. That foot reflexology, massage, energy balancing, acupuncture, and holistic medicine are all working with the system of energy that exists within the body. But I dare say that few of you, unless you've been through my other classes, may know about this system. There are 7 levels to the system. 7 chakras. C-H-A-K-R-A is a chakra. And they begin with a low vibration, the lowest vibration, having to do with survival on this earth. The color that comes through with that is red. Is red. And when we are dealing with issues of security, you may instinctively go to red colors. You want to wear red. You want to feel cozy and comfortable. You want to ground yourself. You want to balance the energy, which can be seen as red by some who are sound therapists. It is heard as a tone. The orange is the next level up, and it is the level of joy and pleasure. The base of that is sexual pleasure. The height of that is spiritual ecstasy. Orange is the most difficult color for this culture to address. We don't address it. We do not address what amounts to the servanting, putting the ego aside and being without ego, the dancing servant. Yellow is the control, solar plexus. It is when you have a bellyache over something, you're dealing with a control issue. When you have ulcers, you're dealing with stress. Something you won't give up, something you won't deal with, causes stress, you get ulcers, you get sick to your stomach, things you can't stomach. These are all control issues. That is yellow. Green, the heart chakra, green. Love issues. Your heart does not break, does it? Some people have heart attacks, and I do work in a rehab center. And when heart attacks come in, I know what the issue is. It will be a love issue. It may be self-esteem. It may be a man who has just retired and feels he's not worth anything anymore. His job is gone. The issue, of course, is the heart attack. But the issue is he'd better go home having something worked with in the area that has caused it. And there will be a tear. When you say, my heart is broken, there will be a tear in that energy, a tear in that chakra energy. The fifth is the throat, the communication. It is blue. Communication, communing, both receiving the word of our Lord and communication. Ever been in a quiet church? What happens? No. We can't handle silence, and it makes our throat tickle, our communication tickle, and we're much happier talking than listening. The still small voice comes through when the physical is not at work. Again, the energy. Indigo, the seat of intuition, the third eye. The perceiving eye. You see with your two eyes. But close your eyes that ye may see. I had a blind friend who would say, well, tell me about the moon. I can see it. I can see it. I can see who you are. And the seventh chakra is the crown chakra. It is ultraviolet. We see it as white. It is the entrance of the will of God into the person. And that works through all of the energy centers and is grounded in the earth. Now this, has anybody been familiar with the energy system in the body? It was very interesting with Rob Wall. He came to my session two nights ago, and I was compelled to go to his presentation of Revelations yesterday morning. And he spoke about the seven churches. And I said to Rob afterwards that I have always seen Revelations as something very personal, pertaining to the individual and receiving the second coming of Christ within the individual. We began to talk about the seven centers, which he had listened to the night before. And he said in chapter 4, God is surrounded by all seven colors. What we have within our body, and he suggested I read Revelations, that is in fact what he feels I am working with. He in turn is going to work more with this system that I have talked about. We are the living rainbow. We are the very promise of God in Genesis. I give you the bow as a sign that I will never abandon you. It is our very being that walks in the image of God. It is this vibrational system which, while not seen to the physical eye, you in fact do perceive. Now, the first thing we did this week, I put up six sheets, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and we used violet. I didn't use the seven. So we don't see indigo and we don't see ultraviolet yet. And I said, okay, what do you think of when you think of red? Well, it was anger and aggression and danger and things like this. All things to do with survival and security. What I have told you about each of the colors, as we went through and just talked about what each color meant to all of you, it came out to be exactly what I've been talking about. In other words, you're experiencing. This isn't something that is being put at you. It's something you use all the time. You will draw on certain colors to wear. You may reach in your closet and say, I don't want to wear that. This feels better, and you'll pull that out. My blind friend would go into the closet and say, no, that doesn't feel good. That does. Or come up to me and say, that looks nice on you. Goes well with it. I mean, what else do you put with jeans, right? But, she would tell by the energy, my energy, and what I was wearing, whether that energy was helping me. And you do it all the time. You decorate your homes. Has anybody redecorated their home? Different colors? I'm tired of these colors. I want to decorate over here. Do this. Everybody's happy with themselves. Edith has made some changes. I had one woman last year who said, yeah, I worked with all earth colors. The browns, the golds, the rusts. She said, the last 3 years, I had to change the house to blues, and there's some lavender. Why? What happened? And I'm wearing blue and lavender. I said, well, tell me a little bit about yourself. And she said, well, I've raised four kids. They're all off at college, and 3 years ago I went to seminary. I said, well, you have gone from the grounding nature, the lower vibrational colors, to what? The very spiritual colors, at the other end of the vibrational spectrum. So we do this ourselves. This is something we work with all the time. This is not new material to yourself. It is new material to your physical being, because to us the physical being has become very important. And it's the physical being, if we can't use the five senses, it doesn't exist. Well, what about the Old Testament? The visions, the auras, the prophets, prophecies. Were they different than we were? No. They were not as grounded in the physical body. The Oriental is not either. The Oriental is raised above the ego. We do battle with the ego all the time, constantly. And if you cannot see it or hear it or taste it or touch it or smell it, it by and large does not exist. Although Jesus keeps telling us to put aside the worldly things, to walk with him. This is what he's talking about. And what is made in the image of God? This is something that is the Bible. It is the word that we receive. And yet we hang on to the physical stuff. And most of the counseling I do has to do with people who are struggling with this split. And they're mainly dealing here and here, between the control and the security and their intuitive and what they are receiving, and either blocking it or distorting it as it comes in. We are going through the split. We do it in the church. We do it not so much in the church as we do within faith. And it's very difficult to deal with. I guess this is why I'm doing what I'm doing with people and helping them to balance. Are there any questions at this point before we now get into the essence of what is you, which will be the aura and the dream? Any questions? This has got to be new stuff for you. Very new. There are a number of books out. I am in the process of writing one as well, in which we will cope with the issues that occur with security, the illnesses that come when you are not coping with an area, and if you know where the illness is coming from, like the ulcers, it's generally known that ulcers come from stress, and that you need to work with the stress in order to get rid of the ulcers. This is true of anything that happens to your body. And people with colon problems or hemorrhoids or the coccyx are working with security issues. Being well seated, getting a handle or a good footing is all part of security. It's all part of that first chakra of security, and so on up the line. Well, we have the dream and the aura. Morton Kelsey said that probably the only way God is able to communicate with us in this culture is through the dream. The dream is the only time that the ego is put aside, and the inner self is allowed to come forth. Everybody dreams. We block it. We may not remember it. But everybody dreams. And of course, there are studies on how many times a night you dream and when, and the cycles in between and so forth. But we all dream, and we dream in symbols. Sometimes, I had this happen last year. Emily White was here last year, and she's a dream analyst. And in the middle of the night, the phone rang up here. And I woke up, and it was like you ding-a-ling, wake up and record this dream. And it was something that I needed to pay attention to, but I was tired and I would sleep through it. So our Lord does have a sense of humor too. Sometimes at night I'd sleep through the phone, but at Holden I'm going to sleep through a phone call. So you may get signals. You may get something. I've also had dreams explained while I was still in the dream, just in case you miss the point. Here it is. How many of you do record your dreams?
Okay. Stir this, a minute.
Yeah, that's a real important thing to do if you are going to know what's going on within you. Because this is the unbridled thought coming from within. Dreams are always helpful. They are always positive, including the nightmare. The nightmare is having to make a big fuss for you to turn around and face whatever it is. You haven't faced it. So it becomes a nightmare. Something, a fear with which you are living, that your inner self is saying you've got to get rid of. And this dream is going to keep coming until you face it or you go and get help. So a nightmare is helpful too. It's just a slightly more urgent call to look at it. But you will dream in symbols. There are a lot of dream books out with dictionaries. And you find one that seems to suit you. You will know the meaning of your own dreams. But they tap this energy that is you, that we mask so well in the body. And we shove it down. That's why a lot of people have colon problems, and they have stomach problems, and feet problems, and so forth and so on. We'll stop it. You just keep shoving it down, and then one day a person has a stroke or a heart attack or has cancer. Something is literally eating away at them because you won't face it, refuse to face it. And dreams often will come through at a very early stage with problems. And you can choose to face these problems or ignore them. Now, people have sworn to me that they don't dream. They'd be insane, because part of the dreaming early on in the night is garbage. You review the day and you pass it off. It's essential to our well-being and our sanity. I put a tape recorder by the bed. When I wake up, I know that, I don't know why the tape recorder is never mentioned. It always says write it down. By the time I get the light on and find everything, you know, I'm wide awake and the dream's gone. But I know it's the third and fourth button from the left, and I push it, and my voice sounds very strange the next morning. But I don't even have to come out of the dream to simply record it and then go back to sleep. The reason for journaling dreams is that dreams come through in different levels. What you can handle right now is what you will understand of the dream. But 2 years down the line, you think, whoa, wait a minute, I had a dream a couple of years ago, and if you can go back and look at it, you will find that there will be help there for you. And, of course, with the symbology will take on a different meaning for it. And, again, it is health for you from your inner self. You have opened up to the working of the Holy Spirit through you. And it is automatically done when you go to sleep. The rest of it, especially in this Western culture, is a very conscious effort to put the ego aside and to pray or to meditate, to become the empty vessel. To become the empty vessel. This is a very difficult thing, but in the dream state, that's what happens. You are an empty vessel. And you choose whether or not you're going to listen to it. There are just two things I'll mention about dreaming. You can recall a dream by telling yourself the night before that I will remember my dream in the morning. Now, it may be morning to your inner self, maybe 2 a.m. You need to write it down. And it may take a few nights to do this. I will remember my dream. And then you will be a little bit more conscious of what you're dreaming, and you will remember it with a little bit of practice. The other thing is, when you wake up, if you want to re-enter a dream and continue it, you can program. You can say, I want to dream about this problem. I need a solution to this problem. And when your ego is put aside, your inner self will work on it. And you can program dreams. Program what you're going to deal with. And know that in the morning you're going to have an answer. You ever incubated an idea? Sal, sleep on it? What on earth do you think is happening? Your inner self, without benefit of ego, is working the problem out. In the morning, by golly, eureka, an answer. Just say thank you, inner self. Look what happens when the ego is put aside. But that happens in the form of a dream also. Daydreams are also part of this. Very important. To allow yourself to just catnap, those dreams can be very valuable. It's called lucid dreaming, just below the surface of being awake. But you can direct a lot of traffic through your dreams. Re-entering a dream, you wake up, you want to re-enter it, picture yourself walking down a steep set of stairs, and as you go down the set of stairs, you know that you will re-enter that dream. You get to the bottom of the stairs, you will re-enter the dream, be able to continue. What you've done is put yourself back into alpha state and continue the dream. Any questions about dreams?
Is there a reason why a person would dream about people who have passed on or died? Is there a reason?
Two reasons. There may be contact there with the person. It also may be aspects of that person which you incorporate into yourself and need to look at. So it can be twofold. Occasionally it is. When you talk about this energy, this inner self, and voices and so forth, telepathy and what have you, we have the angels and archangels speaking to people in the Old Testament. It can be dreams. It can be a word where? Out of the blue. Out of the blue. Where on earth is out of the blue? So it can come through dreams. My mother was with me after her death for quite a few years. She kept coming through dreams with some messages, and I realized it was direction from my inner self. There's no woo-woo going on. But it's coming from my inner self and from a knowledge of my mother. But, I listened. And she could straighten me out even after she wasn't even around anymore. That's sort of scary. Wish I had control over my kids while they're still growing up.
I have a question on that.
Yes.
I remember my father died a couple of years ago, and I remember dreaming of him, but I could never figure out what he was telling me, and he was talking to me.
You need to ask what he was telling you. Ask for clarification. It may come in another form. Mm-hmm. It may just come during the day. You could ask now for clarification of that. And we block what is being told to us. And they can only knock so many times. So ask. And it can be quite interesting.
Yeah. But there's a but. When you dream about, like my mother's passed on, like why would a person dream bad things, or why would they dream that the death is reoccurring? Or why would you...
You may not have grieved it.
When you wake up in the morning.
You may not have grieved it. The death will reoccur until you have cleansed it. And that is telling you to grieve it. Allow yourself to go through a grieving process. Let's see, how are we here? My eyes are... Oh, there we go. We're doing very well time-wise, so we do have time for...
Just one quick question. Mm-hmm. Are you saying there's only probably one major dream tonight?
No, there are nine. They are now saying that there are nine. I'm saying that on, you know, hear, say, sort of thing, way up here. But you have a dream every 20 minutes. And you remember maybe two or three at the most. You can train yourself to remember all of them. They all come on different levels, may interrelate, and some are, as I said, garbage dreams on the surface. But you do dream repeatedly throughout the night. And these are all messages within yourself to clarify where you are and to help keep all of this energy balanced. When you really feel good, do you feel just very open to anything? You feel centered? We call it centering now. Being balanced, being centered. Dreams can help us become centered. And when we're centered, we are open to the word. When we're centered, these seven energy centers within us are balanced. We are then truly in the image of God, with seven centers balanced. Of course, we only live in this moment. That is nothing that once you've got it, you've got it, you know. It is a bit elusive, given the next moment, the phone rings and something comes up in your life. But the dream is very helpful and is there to help you maintain and establish a balance within this energy. And it comes through this energy itself. That's where it's coming from, is through this that is your self, your being. So the dream, like the aura, is a very tangible part of your real self. What I see sitting in front of me is the illusion of you. We keep trying to put forth, you know, what I want to look like. You know, and I moved from the Midwest to the West. I moved from the briefcase, the three-piece suit, and the high heels, heaven forbid. I went back to my daughter's wedding, and she was, you know, I therefore was mother of the bride. And I walked into the church, and I still had my Birkenstocks on. I was not putting those heels on, and the look of horror on my daughter's face. We are what we wear. We are what we look like. No, we are not. That's the illusion. And it's a cultural illusion. But it is an illusion. And if I make no other point but this and all next week, that is one I wish to make. The reality of you is what you feel and think. It is your dreams. It is your hopes. It is all of the balance of this energy center. We cannot help a person get well in the rehab center if their attitude is bad. If they are determined to stay sick, we might as well forget therapy, because the person will not get well. Doctors and therapists cannot make a person get well. You have to want it, and what wanting is part of this energy. It is part of this energy. Norman Cousins' book, Laughter, Curing Cancer by Laughter. Beautiful book. And that's the affirmation. It is the affirmation of self, which is not what I'm seeing sitting in front of me. It's the affirmation of your energy. On to the aura. The aura is an emanation from these centers. This is why I felt I wanted to go through these seven centers. Now, it does not mean that you have seven aura. You do have seven auras, seven layers to your aura. But it does not mean that they are red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and ultraviolet. It does mean, however, that the one closest to you, which is associated with the chakra center that is security, is your double. It follows your body very closely. It reacts to what is happening with the surface of your body. When you have surgery, you're cutting through this. And it will be damaged. And this needs to be healed, as well as, you know, the scar healing. And you can do this yourself by visioning it, healing. You will heal faster. The body manifests what's going on in the chakra centers and the aura. And we have the emotional level of the aura. In a couple of minutes, you're going to experience the aura. I'm going to have you experiencing it. And there are seven, the spiritual and that, and usually we cannot feel, just as we cannot see the upper two colors. We are not capable yet of using our eyes to see it. We cannot feel the outer perimeters of our being. But have you ever stood in an elevator with one other person and said, "Get out of my space"? No. They're not touching you, they're not anywhere near you. But somebody has a big strong aura and you're going this way, you know, pulling your aura in. Which incidentally you do. You ever met anybody when you say, "Boy, that person has his guard up"? You can drop a shield over yourself and protect yourself. Some of us do it so hard that it's made out of plexiglass, you know, and you like this, you know, "Can I come in?" And you walk up to it and you literally bump into it. You feel that somebody has a hard shell, a hard shell. They do. They've put up a hard shell. You can do this as protection. Anytime I begin a meditation or a lecture, I will fill the room with blue energy, what's called settling the energy. The Orientals, this was out of Tai Chi that I learned, to settle the energy. And then I will wrap myself in white light and ask the Lord, protect and guide me and keep me from harm and protect those I teach. So the aura can be used, white light, the white light of Christ. Just picture it around you. It is therefore there. This is what's so hard to believe, is that if you image it, it is. But we're talking about a reality that we cannot see. Image it and you can be protected. What do you do when you give somebody a hug? What are you doing? You're reaching through their aura and you are sending love to that person. It is received. You can do that to someone who is not present. Now, when there is a bonding with a friend, it comes right out of the bonding or control, the solar plexus. And that is part of the aura, and the aura will stretch to another person. There is a bonding. Does that mean you hold hands all the time? There is an energy bonding and you will feel it right here, a tickle in your stomach. You will feel it right here. And that is a stretching of the aura to another person. The aura is something that some people are trained to see. I did see auras when I first became aware of some gifts that I fought and fought and fought for years. I fought having anything to do with the gift of healing. And until I had my right hand taken away from me for 3.5 years, I had to sit and pay attention. The right hand is the sending hand. I could only receive for 3.5 years. And when I came out of that and finally worked my right hand back to use, I had gone through quite a process. So we use this energy in different ways. The aura is something that obviously is with us at all times. In illness, it can become very small. In healing health, it can become very large. I have seen one aura that was a halo and saw it around a contemplative who was prepared to die with a message to tell the priest that there was a problem, that we needed to celebrate with him. I told the priest, I was glad he was sitting down when I did. This was in an Episcopal church, and but he followed. He called the bishop, and we celebrated with the man, and he died. And this was a halo, and it probably is the only one I will see, but that is the state of absolute calm and total openness to the Holy Spirit. Questions about the aura?
We will
now experience the aura. Do you have any things that have happened where you have sensed other people, or you felt them close, or you've known somebody was behind you? Turned around and you've sensed that somebody was there. You're sensing their energy, which is of their aura. What I want you to do is one person sit in a chair and a second person stand behind. So I need you now to form into pairs with one person, another person who is sitting in a chair, and then we're going to switch places. But you will be able to experience. Okay, we've got a couple of, we need pairs here. They're enough to go around. Just pair up with, yeah. And here's another, go right behind you here. There's somebody right behind you. Be brave. Pull your aura in. Pull it in close around your body. Pull it in. Protect yourself. Drop a shield around yourself. Pull it in. Pull it in as close to your body as you can. Okay, now the person feeling it, come in again. See if there's any difference. Now, this aura is right here. Been pulled in. See if you can feel any difference. Keep pulling it in. Keep concentrating on pulling it in. Protecting yourself. Protect your space. Okay? Now, shake your hands out again. This just shakes off this energy. Those sitting, I want you to push that energy out. Expand it. Take a deep breath in. Pull energy in through the top of your head and just let it fill that aura. Just let it expand. Let it expand. Now feel it. see if there's any change. We're way out here. You can change your space. That's the reality. We have control over our space. Okay, now change positions. Now, person sitting, take a deep breath. Just relax.
Who's your sure keep that eyes shut the whole time?
Yes, focus within. Relax. Okay, and the person standing behind, bring your hands in and see where there is an energy change, a feeling of a little bit denser. Can you feel it? Feel around the face. See what you can discern of this space. This is the, you may be going through the emotional to a tighter area of the aura. One reason for doing some of these changes that we're doing is to show that you do have control over yourself. You do have protection. You can expand. Okay, shake your hands out. And now I want those of you sitting to pull that aura in. Pull it in around you. Pull it in real tightly. Pull it in. Feel it pull in. Drop a protection around it. Hold it in. And now feel. See how close you need to come to discern the aura. See what changes you feel. Almost like hitting a buffeting wind a little bit. And you just feel the resistance just a tiny bit. And it doesn't always happen the first time you try to experience it. Because this is not something that we're used to doing. Okay, now those of you sitting, I want you to shake your hands out, those of you working. Those of you sitting, I want you now let your aura expand. Just let your space expand. Take a deep breath. Bring in energy from the top of your head and right out through the whole aura. And just let it expand. Let it float out. When you are very open, this is what happens. Okay, now see what's happening. You may have to come out quite a ways and come in from out pretty far. Some of them may be pretty big. When you feel somebody's presence before they arrive in the room, some people are so powerful that you feel their presence ahead of time. This is what you're seeing. You are sensing their presence, their aura, which is a very powerful aura in that case. Okay, and now shake your hands out and come and sit down. What did you experience?
Did it go in and out?
Okay. What were some of the things you experienced? Could you feel it? Kim, it is there. It is real.
I could feel more when I was sitting down. I was
okay. Sure. When somebody comes into your space, you certainly do feel it. And that is what you're feeling. And one's space is very important and is to be protected. You know immediately if somebody coming toward you is someone you can receive or not into your space. Don't you?
Yeah.
And you can sense pretty quickly. Sometimes people fool you. And now the term is that they hook into you. What they're doing is hooking into your energy, and that's where that term comes from. They actually hook into your energy and then drain energy from you.
Are there some people who like to challenge your energy?
Because sure are.
I found that as I traveled here, I was by myself, and I felt like I had an armor up, and this has happened other times where I feel like there are people who try and approach it.
All right, it may be because you have your armor up that people will challenge it.
And it's like they want to come in, but I don't want them in. And
okay. That's, you will see it more when you're trying to keep something away. You'll be much more aware of people coming at you.
Uh-huh.
And all of your energy is going to keeping people away. As you learn to trust who you are and where you are, that armor may not have to be quite as strong. And then people will not be working at you quite so hard.
Is it just that you are less aware of people entering into your space?
When you have...
Because you're more open to people trying to get to know you.
Yes, and it means that people can't harm you as easily. So your protection is not up. And you're in a place where you can give and take a little bit more. It's a learning process. And when you're traveling alone, that's not easy. And it's something where your tendency would be to protect yourself a little bit more. That's a very natural reaction to what you were doing.
Yes, what we were doing here, would it make a difference if you were doing it with a stranger or someone you know?
Somebody, it doesn't make a difference. Somebody you know well, where you have been in communication, you may be in communication with more of what you feel. You ever had a knowing about somebody? Mm-hmm. Where you just... You said, I'm going to tell you this, it's going to sound funny, but I know this fact. I said to somebody a few weeks ago, I have a knowing, do not take a job out of fear. I said, I don't know what that means, but it's not for me. But it came from a communication that we had, and with that, I was able to receive from through my energy being open to this person and be able to exchange it with the person. Simply a knowing.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in terms of sometimes, let's say often in terms of relationships, because it seems like I get attracted to the wrong people all the time.
There will be a reason for that. Probably out of childhood. There will be a reason for that, culturally, that you have brought with you. And you know that they're the wrong people and they do the wrong things to you and you're still attracted. You need to deal with it. So that needs to be talked out and discover what the issues are. And you may open yourself, be a victim. You know, all of these things that come into codependency and so forth drain the energy. And we repeat patterns that we have learned. And this may prevent the balancing of all of the energy within the system. One thing I'd like to mention that I mentioned a couple of nights ago, There are two things. One thing I can tell you to do to allow you protection for yourself, and the other is, when we bless ourselves, what are we doing? It's a very beautiful gesture. The Father, which is the intuitive, and the God center. And the Son, which is the heart, the love center. The Holy Spirit, what we are carrying on our shoulders. But what's happening is that you are crossing right through this aura and right through the heart chakra to open it up. Now you can, two things happen when you do this. You either open up a chakra, which generally you are doing when you are in prayer. You're asking that the energy be outgoing. The other is, if you feel somebody draining your energy, if you will simply, just unobtrusively, cross through the solar plexus and close it, then somebody can't get at you. This often, when somebody feels threatened, they'll go this way. You ever done this? Or, oh, you've got, you know, it really gets you here. What you're doing is closing that center. You don't realize it. This is all pretty difficult stuff on first exposure. But if you will become aware of what's happening around you, become aware of the space around people, become aware of how a person talks about body language. But if somebody is sitting still, be aware that you know that that person's angry. Your knowing is the communication with the unseen energy that is that person. Okay, I don't think there are any more points that I'm going to make, so we can, now the questions. I was told the other night, how could we possibly have questions? It's all so new. True, it is, I recognize, a very new subject. Mm-hmm.
Does this have to stay personal experiences, or can it become communal?
Can become communal. The power of prayer is probably the best example of what a group of people can do as all unite and send prayer. That is very, very powerful. And the healing chains, where you call a person and everybody prays for one person, is extremely powerful on a communal level. Absolutely it can, and it can become global.
It's a challenge that this, because I felt, I'm in a meditation group, with a Christian meditation as a group, and I brought up once the fact that when we do it together, I feel an enormous energy going around, and something that I don't experience on my own when I meditate on my own. And yet I don't know what to do with that energy.
One thing is to enjoy it and draw it in, let it be within you. And this is something in church as we pray. And particularly the Lord's Prayer, as it is said, if we not just say the Lord's Prayer, but experience it. As a group of people experience the Lord's Prayer together, it is extremely powerful for each person, that energy that you're talking about. You can feel an overwhelming well-being, overwhelming sense of just opening of your heart. Your heart may even hurt. Now you're hurt here. You are opening to God's love. You ever had just a pain and you just opened up to something like that and it hurts? Something, of course, you're so busy trying to control all this stuff that all of a sudden, you know, you open up to it and you may even, you know, catch your breath a little bit. And that that can happen when prayers are actually entered into.